Happy and blessed New Year to brothers and sisters. Are you happy?
Yes.
You are blessed? Our time is going fast, so I will try to speak a short sermon today. And because after the message, we will be having something special, the commissioning of a pastor and two deacons. The title of the message today is A New Beginning, and we are looking into the whole chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. This is a new beginning because it is also the first Sunday of the new year, so it is a new beginning, but I think by now you know that it is not just because it is a new year, it's a new beginning, but we are looking forward to actually greater things in this year. And are you excited about that? Really excited? But we know that there is a cloud over Penang right now, a dark cloud that seems to be getting darker the last few days. You know what I'm talking about? Are we still having a new beginning? All right. Today is the first Sunday of a new year, 2021, and Pastor Alvin has just introduced to us a new vision, a new charge with the commitment and with the call, and a new generation of leaders by 2030, and emphasizing on He is Lord, that Jesus be Lord in our lives, in our church, and that we love Him, really love Him deeper and deeper, and that we love others. Now, this seems to be very simple, right? But it is actually very, very profound. If we can really launch into it, it is going to be very exciting. And today we are having the commissioning of a pastor, Pastor Winnie, and Deacon John and Deaconess Lillian. This is also related to a new generation of leaders because we are recognizing them, we are commissioning them or installing them to be new leaders in the church. And these new leaders will also help us in this process of having Jesus be Lord in our midst, and that we will love Him with all of our hearts, and we will love others. So, we are going to look into this also. Let us again come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just continue to recognize that You are Lord, You are God. Without You, we have nothing. And all that we have been doing today, O Lord, we trust that You are pleased with us. And as we continue on, with this message and in the commissioning service and for whatever that we will be doing, that we are being in Your presence, we are under Your care, we are under Your leadership, and You will be the one speaking to us, You are the one leading us, and You will be the one who is glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1 says, "These are the words of Moses that he spoke to all Israel in the wilderness east of Jordan, the Jordan River." Verse 3. "In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them." And verse 5. "East of the Jordan in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law, saying, 'The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain.'" Now, What was happening at that moment was that the Israelites had been in the wilderness for 40 years already, and now they are at the east of Jordan, just crossed the Jordan, and it will be the promised land. In fact, part of the east of Jordan is also the promised land. Just cross over and you will be in the promised land. And so Moses say, here we are. We are now at the east of the Jordan River already, and the land is just in front of you. We are going to have a new beginning. And verse 7, break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples. Verse 8, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to the descendants after them. Now, actually, this was given 40 years ago because at that time, the Israelites were in reality ready to cross. But this they didn't do, and now Moses was saying the same thing again. Now is the time, all right? Look at the words in yellow especially. Break camp, advance, go to all, see, I have given you, go in, take possession, because this is what the Lord swore he would give to you way in the past. It is time to take hold of what the Lord had promised. Now, as we have this new beginning, we also can believe that God, perhaps already in the way past, had planned for this church and for each one of us something for this year and in the years ahead of us. Are we able to believe that? God is a very wonderful God, a mighty God. He had the future in his hands. And we actually do not need to worry too much about our future. When I was getting into 60 years old, I was a bit worried about my future. I'm getting old already. All the while, I never worried, right? But when I was getting 60 years, I started to worry. And then my wife told me, all right, why are you worried about, right? And suddenly I come to my senses. Yo, what should I be worrying about, is it? Because God is having me in his hands, and even though I'm now actually 65, going into 66 in a few months' time, and somebody said that I may still have 10 years to do things, all right? Whatever is it, I believe that in this year, God has something for me. And do you believe that for yourself? Okay. And for our church? And if God has something for us, do we dare to go, to advance, to take possession, to take hold of what the Lord has given to us? For me, for my family, and for my church. Yes, God has something for you. In spite of all the dark clouds around us. And God has given us the power, the Holy Spirit, to shine for Him and actually to go and advance and take possession and to take hold of whatever that the Lord has for us. And don't forget the family. Now, if we don't go and take hold of what God has for us for our family, we can actually forget about the other things, right? Because if we cannot have a strong family, a godly family, how are we going to have a strong church and a strong city and a strong nation? And therefore, for this year, we need also to seek God as what He has for us in our family. How should we continue to grow in our family? And I'm excited that this year, I'm even going to grow further in my relationship with my wife. If you feel that God wants you to be more loving to your wife for this year, because you have been growing, but still much more to grow, and you feel that God is leading you to be much more patient to your husband, to be much more encouraging to your children, let it be fulfilled. Go and take hold of it and believe that God can lead you to continue to grow in your family and in our church. And as we continue with this chapter, it is very interesting that Moses went on to talk about leadership. Now, this is something that he had talked about before already, but now he was reminding the Israelites about leadership. Whether it is in the church, whether it is in the family, whether it is in your company or in your organization, if the leadership is not in place, if the leadership is no good, you cannot expect much to happen. It is very, very important that in our church here, we give attention to our leadership, present leadership, and also future leadership. And if you don't talk about the future leadership, by the time come in 10 years' time, you know, we may be nowhere, right? So we have to start now. Leadership is the key to the growth of this church. I don't know whether you understand that or not. And in your family, if there is no leadership as how the family should be growing, or in your company or in your organization, there is no leadership to go forth, nothing is going to happen. Leadership is crucial. We can see this in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in history. And what the world needs today desperately is good leadership. Good leadership. We need good leadership in our country and in the world and in the church and in the family. Now, so here in verse 13, Moses said, choose some wise, understanding, respected men from each of your tribes, and I will set them over you. In verse 15, so I took the leading men of your tribes, wise and respected men, and appointed them to have authority over you as commanders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens, and as tribal officials. And I charged your judges at that time, hear the disputes between your people and judge fairly. Now you look here, I have certain words here in yellow. The first line in verse 13 is you see the word wise, understanding, and respected. Now these are the qualities of good leaders. And down here from verse 15 onwards, you see commanders, officials, and judges. These are the kinds of leaders. And it is good to pay attention to these few words. Now, before I carry on, all right, when I talk about leadership, let us not only be thinking about the elders or the deacons and the pastors and the cell group leaders and all that. Each one of us should be a leader. Every one of us should be a leader. You may not be leading the church as a big church. You may not be leading a cell group as a group of people, not that big as a church. But you can lead someone. You can help someone to go where you have gone. Every one of us is on a journey. I may have reached this place. Somebody else may have reached this place. Another person may have reached that place. But I'm now here. I can help someone to come to where I am right now. In my spiritual life, in my skills, I have been preaching since I was 18 years old. So now I'm 65, going to 66, so I have some experience in preaching. And I can help someone to become a preacher. You have never preached before, I can help you to be a preacher. Anybody interested?
And I have journeyed in my spiritual life for many, many years already. And I can help someone to journey in your spiritual life up to where I am right now. Every one of us can be a leader in helping someone in the spiritual life or in some other skills or experience that you have. Now, in order to be a good leader, you need to have this characteristic. Number one is wise, number two is understanding, and number three is respected. Now, this word respected, in some of the translation, is also translated as known. Now, wise. Now, if you are to be a leader, you need to have some wisdom, is it? You have wisdom? And where can we find wisdom? The Word of God. All right? Let us continue to grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. And what will happen? We will get wisdom. We will know how to live. We will know how to behave. We will know how to do a lot of things. This is full of wisdom. You want wisdom? Come to the Word of God. You cannot be a leader if you don't know the Word of God. Simple. And you can get wisdom when you allow the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And He is a real teacher. He can speak to us. He can guide us. He can help us to understand the Word of God. And He can help us to know how to behave and how to deal with situations in life. So, we can grow in wisdom by having the Word and having the Spirit, understanding. Now, if you want to grow in understanding, you need to study. You cannot just simply sit there every day and be growing in understanding. Study the Word of God, study the world situations, study history, study science, study human behavior. Keep on growing in your study. We need to study. If you're lazy, you cannot grow in understanding. All right? We need to study. Grow in our understanding. And another thing is that in order to grow in our understanding, we need someone to mentor us. Somebody who is more experienced, who can help us to reach his level. Now, I'm so happy that in my spiritual journey, I have been having mentors in my life. And now I am a mentor, especially to key leaders, not only in this church, but also in other places. And you will grow in your understanding if there is somebody who loves you, who cares for you, and who is willing to guide you. And this is excellent for helping us to grow in understanding. And respect. Now, if you are to be a leader, you need to be respected. You need to be known. In order to do that, you also need two things. You need to connect with people. If you want to have respect, but every time you just sit at a corner, you never talk to people, then you wouldn't be known, you wouldn't be respected. You need to connect with people. You know, I know some of you are introverts. I am an introvert. I like to live in a cave by myself. And after I got married for a little while, my wife talked to me. He said, "Husband, if you always want to be by yourself, why do you want to marry me?" But I'm so thankful that my wife has now come to understand that because I am an introvert, I need to be by myself in order to be recharged. Because if I always talk, and always be with people, I get very tired. But extroverts, talk with people, they get energized. So, some of us are introverts, but introverts also, as creatures created by God, as social beings, we need to connect with people. We are not supposed to be an island by ourselves. And if you are a leader, you cannot be an island by yourself. Let us connect to people. And by the way, if you are an extrovert, you may have connection with a lot of people, but your connections may be a bit shallow. But introverts, we do not connect with a lot of people. We connect with fewer people, but our connections are very deep. We can have deep connections. So this is good. Whether extroverts or introverts, we need to connect with people, and we also need to be not just connect, but involve. involved in service, involved in ministry, and that will help us to be known, and that will help us to be respected. So we need this kind of leaders. And we make sure that if we have leaders, that they have wisdom, they have understanding, and they have respect from people. And then we find that as we talk about leaders, there are different kinds of leaders. There are commanders. Commanders are people, I will call them key leaders. They are probably key leaders of a big group, a whole church, of 1,000 people, but they can also be commander of 100 people, even 10 people. So even if you are in a group of 10 person, it could be a cell group, it could be a worship group, it could be some kind of group, you still need leaders. And a leader is able to lead the group to grow from where you are right now to somewhere else. So commanders are key leaders, and we need key leaders. And in the church, our key leaders are the elders, and they are absolutely important. And officials are administrators. They see to the building of the church, they see to finance and all that. Our deacons, I would guess, a lot of them will be administrators. And judges. In our church today, we don't have judges per se, but judges are people who are not necessarily doing administration and commanding and leading a big group of people. They are maybe dealing with one or two persons. They are more personal, and they help people to resolve their issues. So maybe I just call them people helpers. And we need a lot of such people. People who can get involved in the lives of others and to help others with their issues, with their problems, and help them to grow. Now, it is possible that you can be a commander and an official and a people helper. It's possible. But usually, most of us will be very good at one, and the others may not be very good. And this is something very important for us to understand. Now, our elders are supposed to be our key leaders, but it is possible that they may not be as, or maybe, I wouldn't say they, right? One of them or two of them may not be that strong in administration, or one or two of them may not be that strong in getting involved with people on an individual basis. And it is okay. If you expect your leaders to be good in everything, then your expectation is too high. And we will never be able to lead you if you have such kind of expectation. So leadership is important, and we are going to give attention to leadership in this church. And I hope that each one of us will also give attention to ourselves to be a leader for Jesus Christ. It is very interesting that for the rest of the chapter, in chapter 1, and even basically for the whole book of Deuteronomy, from chapter 4 especially to chapter 30, it is talking about strengthening the faith. Strengthening the faith means to be committed to God, our commitment. And strengthen our faith means that we really trust in Jesus and He is really Lord in my life. And strengthening and growing of our faith means that we are growing in our love for Him. And it also means that we are growing in our love for others. Do you see that this is actually connected to the new vision or the charge that we are having? Verse 22. Moses, at this point, was reviewing the history of the people during the last 40 years. And he wanted to remind them of their history so that they can learn from their history. Moses said in verse 22, "Then all of you came to me and said, 'Let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to.' The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe." Now, this was actually many years ago. They were about to go into the promised land, and they sent 12 spies into the land. But verse 26, the spies came back with a report, and Moses said, "You were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you say, where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we, and their cities are large and their walls are up to the sky. Now, God had already told them way beforehand that they are supposed to go, take possession of the land. But when the spies came back, 10 of them gave a negative report. They say the people there are giants and the walls are up to the sky. And they started to melt with fear. Their hearts were filled with fear with the problems ahead of them. This can also happen to us. When we face problems, when there are difficulties, when there are challenges, somehow we look at them, we get focusing on them, and we are so immersed in them that we lose sight of God. And we begin to sink, and our hearts are melted with fear, and we think that the giants ahead of us are too big, too overwhelming. There is no way in which we can conquer the land or the problem. But Moses said to them, do not be terrified, don't be afraid. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you. It is not your battle, actually. It is the Lord's battle. But for those of us who are living for the Lord, who are serving the Lord, it is not actually we serving the Lord. It is actually the Lord himself enabling us and actually giving us a partnership in joining him in his work. It's not our work, it is his work. And he will help us, he will fight for us, as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. Now, you just look back in your history, God has been with you all the while. And in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carry you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. Now, what is happening here is that Moses was reminding them, now, God has always been good to you, Ma. You have been facing problem after problem, but God has been carrying you. He cared for you. Yeah, the problems are real. The giants are real. The walls are high, but God is powerful. He had been with you all this while, and he has been leading you until now. Now, I told you that when I was approaching 60 years old, I forgot about all these things. And I struggled for about a month, right? I was actually in depression for about a month. And I actually couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I get thinner and thinner until I got scared, right? Yeah. I was worried because it seems that the future is so uncertain. I don't know what to do, right? My body is getting weaker now, right? Do I have enough money, right? To survive, right? Scared. And one day, my wife woke me up. She asked me two questions. Has God been with you and provided for you all this while in your history? I said, yes. Then she asked me another question. Has God ever forsaken you? I said, no. Then how come your faith is so weak at this point? I said, yes. Suddenly I woke up. I said, Lord, sorry. And I'm glad that today I'm still having this faith in this wonderful God. Even though the future is uncertain, there may be giants ahead of me. But because he has been carrying me as a father all this while, and he has been leading me all this while, I believe I can trust him. And I do not need to be afraid of the future. Let us trust the Lord for this year. This year, we don't know really what is going to happen, you know. As I say, the cloud over Penang seems to be getting darker, you know, the last few days. Will it still get darker some more? I don't know, right? But even if it gets darker, we shine the brighter. Because we can trust the Lord for this year and for the next 10 years. Even if there are giants ahead of us, what are these giants? The giants could be the virus, or the giant could be the virus. The virus can be a giant to many of us. The giant could be finance, right? Some of us may have financial challenges. And the giants could be people, somebody in your family, somebody in your company, somebody in the country, maybe somebody in the church who gives you problem, who doesn't understand you, who is not encouraging, not affirming, criticize you, judging you, giving you problem. Could be a giant, all right, to have such a person. It could be even be a sickness. Whatever giants they are before us, actually we have no choice. We still have to trust the Lord. Who else to trust, all right? And the Lord can be trusted. Conclusion. Let 2021 be a new beginning in spite of whatever darkness. Let us be excited. And as a church, we are going to raise a new generation. And in a few moments' time, we are going to commission 3 leaders. And we are going to trust Him that He be Lord in our lives, that He be Lord in our church, that He be Lord in our family. And we will love Him, and we will serve Him by serving others. Now, I didn't say love others at the end because I want it to be him, all right? Trust Him, love Him, serve Him, all right? Serve Him means to love others. If we are going to serve God, we will be loving others, all right? And this is the greatest commandment. Jesus said, these are the 2 greatest commandments. All the laws and all the prophets hang on to these 2 commandments. To love God and to love others because we trust in Him. Shall we? Because we know that God has something for us for this year and in the days ahead of us. If you do not know what is it that God is having for you personally, for your family, and for your church, you ask Him, all right? On Wednesday, when Elder Chun led us in a prayer meeting, he asked all of us to spend half an hour just to wait upon the Lord and ask God, what is it that you have for us, all right? And that was very meaningful because it actually helps me to crystallize what is it that God has for me for this year. So I don't want to give you half an hour now to wait and pray to God, but I think I can give you maybe a few seconds, all right? I think even within a few seconds, you know, God can speak to you what God has for you for this year. And that you also be a participant in the raising of new leaders in our church, but that you also be a leader in your family and a leader for whoever and whatever that God will entrust to you. And that each one of us will trust Him. In spite of the storm clouds, we love Him and we will love others. Shall we all stand? I want to give you just a few seconds to pray to God and ask God, God, what do you have for me for 2021? Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you and give you glory because even within these few seconds, I know you are so powerful and so loving, so kind that you speak to many of us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us and that you hold us in your hands and that this year is a year of goodness, a year of blessing, and a year of shining for you. And Father, we thank you that we can trust you because you are God. And we thank you that we can love you because you first love us. And we thank you that your love is sufficient for us that we can overflow with love for others. Oh Lord, may your name be blessed and may your blessing and your love be poured forth abundantly upon your people and upon this church. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.